Before I start today's episode, I want to tell you about today's show sponsor. It is Rally Hoops. Yes, if you guys have not heard of Rally Hoops, oh my gosh, you are missing out. Check it out. Volleyball, basketball, mixed. Yes, I said that. Volleyball and basketball, mixed. It is fun. Is it exciting? It'll get you up and get you playing out in your backyard. Check it out. Links are in the show notes. Toss Talk listeners get $30 off their purchase of a Rally Hoops game set. You are not going to want to miss this. That is promo code Toss Talk. Play, serve, score. Rally Hoops.
This is Toss Talk, where it's all about yard games, having fun, and what it takes to create social entertainment. With your host and creator, Kelvin, on Toss Tunes Radio.
Hey, what's up? And welcome back to another episode of Toss Talk. And today, we are playing bocce ball. I mean, not just bocce. We are talking chicken foot. Do you guys remember the chicken foot? Yes, episode 9. Oh my God, that's so long ago. However, Nathan and Dan are back to catch us up on the company, catch us up on the bocce community, and what's been going on with their product, the chicken foot. Yes, the chicken foot, the bocce ball retriever. You know, if you're trying to bend over to pick up that bocce ball, you just can't quite get it. They solved that problem. And they have upgraded the product so it can travel and it's very light and it can break apart and fit in your bag. Yes, they are solving problems and keeping you on the court playing bocce ball. As always, links are in the show notes. Give them a follow. Check out the new chicken foot, especially if you're anywhere active in the bocce ball community. This is the product for you. And also, follow the new Toss Talk TikTok. Yeah, I'm going to be creating some TikToks out there. It's the new craze these days. Let's get into this chat. Oh my God, guys, how have you been? I feel like I've been following you for forever now. I know you guys have been listening since the first podcast. I'm really excited to catch up with you guys. What's been going on with Chickenfoot?
Well, good to talk to you, Kevin. I'm sorry. I get excited. So, I mean, I get excited talking about bocce. I get excited talking about Chickenfoot. And it's just something that Nathan and I just, you know, in the beginning, it was, you know, slow but sure. But now with the new improvements that we've had, COVID played a major role because, you know, everybody was just kind of twiddling their thumbs and not doing anything. But through COVID, we were able to improve our product. And we listened to our customers. And one of them was, I can't get this on the airplane for the traveling player. So we worked with our engineer and he came up with a compressed, what do you call it? when it contracts and expands.
Like a kaleidoscope type thing?
Similar to telescope. Yeah, telescope.
Yeah, telescope.
Telescope is the right word. And the other improvement we did was we made the foot it can screw on and screw off.
Oh, wow.
And so now you can use it with our stick or you can use it with most trekking poles. And the benefit to that is if you don't want to buy our stick, you can buy the foot. It's sold separately.
Okay.
So what we've been able to do is some of these bocce communities where they have multiple courts with 100+ members, they ended up buying eight feet at a time and adapting it to trekking poles that their members can use. So it was very fortunate for us to hook up with one of the clubs out of Kansas City at the latest tournament. We met them in Detroit at Plaza de Bocce.
And oh, wow.
They were very, very interested. Hey, you know, when they when we go, Nathan and I go to these tournaments, we go with our chicken foot shirt. We're, you know, we're there to play. And when somebody comes up and says, what is that? What do you have? All of a sudden, first of all, they've been watching because they watch me use it. I don't bend over. It's easy to pick up the ball. Yeah. And next thing you know, it's like that little bell goes off in your brain. I got to have one of those. So they come up and it sells itself. Basically, if you have the need for the chicken foot, which allows you to pick up the ball without bending over. So we sold 8 of them to the club in Kansas City. And it was beautiful because his club has now been using them and they're very excited about it. So it's one of those where if you need it, there it is.
That is awesome. It's good to see that you guys are, you know, listening to your customers and also coming out with a improved product that it does look good and it's more functional. So you guys have been playing a lot of bocce, I hear?
Well, Nathan, yes. The answer is yes. Because I'm retired, I get to play 6 days a week where I live. And it's an adult community. We got 4 courts, and we're improving our courts every time. And so we play in 3 national tournaments a year, and we've been invited to more. We go to the Las Vegas tournament in South Point with Guy DeSantis and his brother Frank. They put that on. Apparently this year, the one that's coming up in 2024, they're going to allow 100 teams to play.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That is awesome.
60 last year and 100, wow. 100 for this coming year because, I mean, the demand – everybody wants to play in a national tournament and
let's go look at bocce.
Yeah. So from New York to California, there's a variety of states involved, even Canada.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's really exciting. So this will be our 8th year that we played in that Vegas tournament.
Oh,
and
my
then we've been to Detroit at Palazzo de Bocce. And we play at the Dallas tournament. That was great. 28 teams from, I'm sorry. Yeah. 28 teams from, all over New York.
Have you guys been placing at all? What's your finish?
So
respectable.
Yeah.
Respectable. Yeah. They know, I think we ended up 3rd or 4th in the silver division. Played like 8 games and we should have. We beat Guy DeSantis and his team, but then when I told him, I said, "You were the highlight. We beat you." He goes, "Everybody beat us." And then there was a couple other games that we should have had, and we just didn't finish the game. So it just, you know, some guys start to get their stroke a little bit later, you know.
That is cool.
We had fun. We had a blast.
Oh my gosh. Man, I got to make it out to one of these tournaments. That sounds amazing, especially just getting all these people, like-minded individuals that love the sport of bocce that I could already feel like the energy is just very cool, very electric.
Oh, yes, because you get to see these guys, and they travel just as much as we do.
Yeah.
You got the team from Lexington, Kentucky, and you got the East-West. You got the Bocce Bros. We played against them.
Oh, okay.
And Carmen and Anthony and Dante, you know, those guys, they're tough. We scored 4 points against them. So you know, we're excited about that. But,
oh, my God.
But they're good. And they ended up being in the championship game. It ended up being 2 Ohio teams that were in the championship. Rocco Delisio and his team versus the Bocce Bros.
Wow, the Bocce Bros made it to a championship.
Yeah, but they lost.
Oh, I see them on YouTube all the time now, and I love that for them because I wish I can just be on YouTube more showing a bunch of bocce, but it's cool that somebody else is actually doing it because it's like these kind of things just need to be documented, need to be shown, and obviously you guys are really deep in the community, so it's cool that it's growing even more.
Yeah, that's really what we're finding is since we got into bocce with the chicken foot, you know, seven years ago, I followed my dad in. we can see the community growing tremendously. Like literally year after year, people are getting better, more skilled.
Yes.
And now they're scratching towards playing, you know, the Volo Rafa. Punta, VRP. They're looking for that, and they're stretching into, you know, how do we nationalize this? How do we have it so that you know when somebody wins a national title, it's the people competing we're placing for that national title. Right now, you know, I don't play as much bocce as I wish I could. I'm trying to start a local bocce league here in Austin, Texas. Just so I can practice more, get my son involved. He's going to come out with it. He's nine, but he's going to come out with us to Las Vegas, and really just trying to plant that pole so we can play more and get better, because everybody else is getting better. Everybody else is playing multiple times a week. I think I was the weak link on this last trip to Dallas. But it's great. You know, I mean, we get to play more bocce. The community is tremendously growing. I think the Bocce Bros recently stated that they have they had a tournament that sold out in 6 minutes.
Wow.
And so
I believe it. I'm still doing bocce leagues here. And it's a lot of the same people that are coming back out, and they are getting so good. Like they beat me now. I step into play and they're like, oh, we gotta beat Kelvin. And I'm like, you guys are really good. Like, I haven't played in a minute.
You had mentioned YouTube, and there's a bocce broadcast network that was started by Michael Sheldon, and his dad, Lou, very, very good. Lou is just a fantastic bocce player. And they now have a bocce broadcast network that they televise or broadcast bocce tournaments, especially in the East Coast. They're from New York.
Okay.
So they'll do a lot of the East Coast broadcasting and stuff. Michael does the Las Vegas tournament. And I think the Bocce Bros also broadcast. And you can find it on YouTube. Just look up Bocce Broadcast Network, BBN.
Very cool. I'll have to check that out.
You can pick up, and they go back a few years. You can see the Las Vegas tournament 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. Nice. I keep a little archive.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, since you guys are so like deep into the community, is there anything else that people should know or may not have heard what's coming out of the bocce community these days? Like, where are things headed?
Well, I think a lot of that, you might, we're not the ones that qualified to talk about that, because there's others that are really in deep with the U.S. Bocce Federation. There's a couple other bocce organizations that are putting that together now. That being said, I was invited 2 years ago to an ambassador's program at Waterside in Syracuse. Not Syracuse. It's Phoenix, New York, which is near Syracuse.
Okay.
And there was a private club called the Waterside. Gabe and Dino run that club. And we held the ambassador's, I can't remember the full name of it, but it invited 28 key people to talk about. They had a symposium to talk about how do we extend and build the bocce community so that it extends and includes other people. Now, the club from Ohio, I always butcher their name, but they have like 200, 300 members. They're the ones that conduct the bocce world's championship in Rome.
Okay.
And they were there. The gentleman that was the president of the Martinez Bocce Federation from California, he has 2,400 members in his federation. So they brought him in to understand, how do you manage 2,400 members? What's your schedule? They've got 14 courts.
Yeah.
So you can have day leagues, night leagues, weekend leagues. You can have men's, women's.
You know. So that is amazing.
So it was, and we were invited because they see Chickenfoot as extending the game of bocce to get to the people that are sitting on the couch.
Exactly. And getting them playing.
So, you know, we were there representing, and it was quite an honor. Really?
Yeah, that has to be big for you guys. I mean, I've seen a couple other bocce products, but like your product is very, very functional, very, very useful, and also looks pretty cool. I mean, even if you don't have like an ailment, I still want to pick up the ball, the chicken foot. Like, it just looks cool.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, and to your point about where bocce is going, you know, we're uniquely positioned where we are playing with the people who are competing at a very high level.
Yes.
But we're also looking out for our customers who are going to be the people, like my dad said, who we basically want to say, hey, come play bocce. This is what bocce is about. Father and son, get outside. So it's great to be in both places, to both see where it's going and then to turn our attention and focus on the local players, the local clubs, the smaller clubs, and let them know and sort of be a conduit between both worlds, you know, through the chicken foot. So that's really, you know, we're really getting our branding out there within the bocce community, because you know, it's very important for us to be able to be accepted by the community that yeah. we're a part of, right? And that's just tremendous to us. So we're very lucky and very fortunate to be in that position.
And that being
said, that's very smart.
That being said, when we show up, they give us the respect because we look at bocce as a family. We look at it as, hey, father and son. Somebody asked me, how's your day going? I said, any day I can play bocce with my son, it's a good day.
Exactly.
And then you see Rocco and his son out there, Dante, yeah. and you see other fathers and sons and other fathers and sons. We even played one year against a grandfather, a father, and a son. Now, that's why Nathan wants to bring my grandson to Vegas is because we're about family. And that's
legacy, get it going.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, like yard games too, right? It's yes. accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's just like what I'm realizing now this year after 7 years of doing this is that, you know, me and my dad, we could have a relationship and we can say, hey, you know, we did it. We had a relationship. But just spending that time together, working together, playing together, winning together, and losing together, you kind of scratch that next level of that family relationship where you really get to know the other person. You really get to compete with them. Like when we first started playing, it was our old relationship where he's like, you're doing it all wrong. And I'm like, I'm doing the best I can. You know, like Orange County, you know, the Orange County motorcycle. That was yeah. us, right? Yelling at each other, screaming like, what are you talking about? He doesn't know what he's talking about. God. I'm on one side, he's on the other side, and we're just fuming. But now it's smooth. Now, you know, he's giving me coaching tips. I'm listening to him, following him, you know, and just having a blast. And you realize it's just a confidence when we walk out there that, hey, we're here because we want to be here because we're family and everybody sees that. And we want everybody else to feel that same family, whether it's bocce, yeah. petanque, darts, axe throwing, golf, like whatever, you name the sport. Yard sports are built for family.
I feel that energy and I just feel that love and energy from you guys because it's good to know that a brand is like really on top of it and loves like the sport that they're in and trying to help and grow the sport that they're in.
Exactly.
So
thank you.
Kudos to you guys. This is great because you get a couple people that like, you know, they create products and stuff, but they don't really love it. And you can kind of tell. And just by the way you guys speak about it always, I could tell you guys really feel it, love it, and want to make it go to the moon.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit more about 2.0, though, the chicken foot. So since we last spoke, I mean, you had the first version. You're telling me a little bit about the second version. What are some like specific updates that you made to it?
So here's what we did, and I know the viewers at home can't see this. So this was the original, you'll recall, was a fixed length. Sorry, you okay?
Yeah.
Fixed length aluminum pole with the golf grip and the foot at the end. So one thing we were hearing from our customers was sometimes, you know, the foot would get damaged right here, these prongs, right? So it was really difficult, and we had to sell them in two fixed length size. So what we did was, We took a pole, a trekking pole, put the grip on it, got our logo on it, you know, it locks mechanism. And then at the tip, we're able to put the foot, design the foot so that it can affix to the tip simply by screwing it on. So now you have a fully collapsible trekking pole. I mean, fully collapsible chicken foot with a removable foot, making it easy for repair. Unscrew it. You could travel with it, or you can take your own trekking pole. You grab them right there, and you can buy the foot separately for a cheaper price and attach it to your own trekking pole, right? So that you know, we, you know, that was one of the things we faced was price point. So we said, heck, not only can we improve it, but we'll give you two price points: $50 for just the foot. This is our IP. This is what makes it special. Mm-hmm. And then you can buy the pole itself. So $50, affix it to your own trekking pole, or buy the full set for $150. What we want to do in 2024 is offer an aftermarket trekking pole, not branded for chicken foot, but we'll work 100% with the chicken foot, and we'll offer a warranty back behind that. So that offers three price points: $50. We don't know what 75 we're thinking for the new one with the pole, and then 150 for the full model. And I think what that does is, you know, it addresses where our audience is, right? The backyard bocce ball courts, the people that can afford to have those, you know, we think that they want to get the higher end one, right? They got the money. You know, the people that don't want to go out to the store and shop and find their own trekking pole, we got you. Buy it from your couch, got your warranty. Yeah. Or you know, we've sold, like my dad said, the foot by itself. And that really gets people to go over that one hump to purchase our product and bring it in. And that's been a huge success. As soon as we dropped the foot this year, about 2 months ago, you know, like my dad said, two clubs came in. Bam, we want to buy this many. Bam, we want to buy this many. We're buying them here. We're buying them there. And, you know, I just see that as an opportunity to pick up more customers than we would have had just with one version.
Exactly. And that's a very clever idea. Because I thought you guys actually designed the trekking pole. But how did you actually come up with the idea to use a trekking pole to switch with the foot? Like, that's very creative. How'd you do that?
It you know, it's funny. I think, you know, just being in this space long enough, you know, thinking about it and focusing on it, we worked with a couple advisors. Somebody mentioned a removable foot, and you just kind of parked that in the back of your head. And I think one day we just thought about it. We brought it to our other partner, Martin Vasquez, who's an engineer. You know, he worked with me at General Dynamics designing just military grade equipment. You know, we're just kicking it around one day, and boom, he's like, here it is, dude. We'll just take the trekking pole. There's a threading on it. He found that out, matched the threading, boom, and we went with it. So it just was staying focused. Yeah. I think that's our superpower, is just focusing on the product and trying to improve it.
And working with Martin, who's a great engineer, he used a 3D printer to come up with a prototype to make sure that the threads were right and the strength was right. And it was really fun to work with him, because he, when, like Nathan said, he says, I got it. It's here. It's right. This is it. You know, like,
the light bulb moment.
What's the problem? Like,
I love that. Did it just, I love when an idea comes together like that, because it is like a light bulb moment, but it just feels good and it feels right. You know, like, when you think of it, it's like, oh my gosh, like, how come we didn't think of this before? But when you have it, you have it. I love that feeling.
Yeah.
So you mentioned it a little bit, but how have sales been with the new version?
So we had our largest month in November. And we're testing our marketing out now. But the sales are there, man. Like, they've never really trailed off, except during COVID when we were designing this. But the sales are there. I mean, we see the opportunity. People are coming to us. They're finding us out. It's definitely just our we need to focus more on the marketing aspect of it to really pick it up.
You know, it's steady because I do the shipping. I mean, we're small, so Nathan and I. You know?
Of course.
So I just have one partner
as well. I get it.
You know, and so I'm at back and forth to the post office, and what I find is, we're sending this one to North Carolina. We're sending this one to California. This one's going to it went to Canada. We sold one internationally to Canada, and that was shipping is another problem. Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were going to Kansas City and Chicago, and I mean, all parts of the United States. Florida and California are our biggest markets, mainly because of the retirement people and, you know, the villages and whatnot. And our goal is to be able to get a product in one of those adult communities. They only need one because once they see it, they go, "Oh, I want one," you know. And next thing you know,
exactly. I like where things are going for you guys, and you guys are kind of figuring out your market and where you need to be. And I do think you guys are positioned in the right area. Do you guys have any other products you might be thinking about introducing? Maybe related, unrelated, something else you want to introduce to the bocce community?
Absolutely. We've been thinking about that for some time now. We really just want to get the marketing down for the chicken foot. Why? That's our weakness. We really believe in the strength of our brand. We believe in the strength of our logo. We got two different logos, the chicken head and the lettered logo, and believe in the strength of our relationship. You know, how it meshes very well with the yard game community, right? Father, son, getting out there, playing outside and outdoors. So we definitely think that there's an opportunity to expand, right? Like, we literally picked the darkest corner to start from. When we started talking about a bocce ball retriever, like, people could not even get past the word bocce, let alone retriever. You know, that was a big help for us to get out there, to go to these bocce tournaments and get our name out there, to get over that hump of, well, now you know who we are. You can't say, you know, you don't know what a bocce ball retriever is anymore. Now we've settled on the price, and now we're going to work backwards from that point. And I felt like that was kind of the story of our life, is start with the hard part first and then come backwards from that. But yeah, there's definitely, like, as we see bocce growing, it just continues to fuel those ideas.
Yes.
And then during this whole time, like, we didn't know what pickleball was 7 years ago, and now it's everywhere, right?
Everywhere. Yes.
And that's just sort of the model that we want to follow, which is, hey, you know, nobody's a pickleball pro 7 years ago, and now you got people who are being sponsored, who are really doing it. So to have that, to see that fire go, is really motivating for us. So we're looking at different opportunities within the world of yard sports that, when people see the chicken foot logo and the brand, that they can identify with it and say, hey, that's something that we want to be a part of. That's the big thing that we're looking at.
I like that. I mean, continuing with the product, what's something that, you know, you want to tell the listeners or, you know, future customers, something interesting about the chicken foot that they may not know just by ordering it and getting it and starting to use it, like, something, you know, they might not have thought of?
I mean, it's an amazing back scratcher.
It's
pretty cool too when you're on the court to hold it, you know, to walk around with it. Like, I really feel like a boss a little bit with the chicken foot in my hand, you know, grabbing ball, like, you know, because I'm you know, we don't have to move a lot. We just grab it, pull it to us, flip it up.
Two things. The first one was when Martin re-engineered it, he did it so that it balances well and can stand up by itself.
Awesome.
Those players that need two hands or want to hold two balls at one time or whatever, you can pick up the ball and then set it on the ground and it will stand. Okay. And that's a plus. The other one, I swear, I was in Danville, California, and I was playing on a public park, and I just joined it was a club that was on their off day. They were playing an open bocce. And so I walked over and I says, you know, can I join you? So I'm playing bocce and I've got my chicken foot with me, and the lady that I'm playing with, and probably a little older than me, and she goes, "Oh, I don't need one of those to pick up a ball. I bend over to pick up as exercise. This is great." So the frame was over, balls are all laying out in the court. I walk out. I says, I got this. You hold back. I got this. I went out and I started raking the balls back one by one, because the ball would be here. And I just pull them back and then throw it up against the wall. And she goes, "You know what? I want to buy one just to do that." And she right then and there. Yeah. So things that you don't know what this is capable of doing. And then if you go to our YouTube video, I've been playing with this for long enough that I have an act of what did you call it? Flip, stick, and catch, or
scoop, what? Flip, and roll, right? That's what I roll with.
So the ball's here, you scoop it up, and you flick it, and it comes up from the ground, and you catch it in one hand, and you throw. Yeah. So once you get used to it, you could do all kinds of things. Yeah.
Yes.
And another thing too, you know, is that we got some feedback a couple of years ago from a gentleman who said, "I play bocce, but I was never able to play compete competitively in a tournament because halfway through I just got tired." And when you realize that, you know, the act of bending over to pick up the ball, to touch your toes, to touch, grab that ball, the blood to your head, you get back up, you're seeing things differently, right? it's a head change.
Exactly.
So with the chicken foot, you know, you could stand there comfortably, pick up the ball. Your vision is on the field. It's never left the court. You know where you're going to roll. And as you know, in bocce, it's all about my eyes. I see it. I'm focused on it. I'm not losing focus, and I'm rolling the ball. The feedback he gave us was after he got the chicken foot, he won his first championship. The next championship he played in,
he had a trophy that was as big as a it was huge.
Yeah,
and he's holding on to it. He sends the picture. We said, "Can we use it?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "I finally, thanks to the chicken foot, played long enough to win the championship."
Oh my God, that's amazing! I love to hear that. This is why, love to circle back and see what has been going on, because stories like that, I mean, to me, it's awesome. And I know for you guys creating it and hearing that and seeing people use it the right way, that's got to be a wonderful feeling.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not used to it yet. It's weird. It feels like an out-of-body experience where people are like,
"It does, right?
You're helping me." And I'm like, I just, you know, I'm not really. My dad, he handles it better than me, but it's pretty awesome when you see somebody use something that, and you know this, right? That you've been thinking about and dreaming about, and they use it. I don't even know how to process that yet.
I live in an adult community, 65 and 55 and older. And we got 2000 homes. We've got 261 bocce members. And there must be 31 of these chicken feet in our community. 31, okay? And every time I sell one guy says, "Oh, I want to buy one." I said, "Okay, fine. Save me on the shipping. And let me have that." And they'll come back a week, 2 weeks later going, "Man, I am so glad I bought this. This is saving me. It helps me to play. I can play longer." And I every time I sell one, I tell them, I don't know if you can see this, but Nathan put this marker on the pole.
Uh-huh.
Because we have 31 of these, I says, "You need to put your name on this. You need to mark it. You need to do something so that somebody doesn't take your chicken foot."
That makes sense.
And so
we're
thinking of other ways to customize someone's, you know, give them the option, or at least let them know that they need to make sure that they mark it or put their name on it or something.
Oh my, yeah, I didn't even think of that. And that makes sense. And that's also good. You're getting that feedback and you're listening, or you're just seeing what is happening with your product live. Because yeah, I wouldn't want somebody using mine because, you know, the grip might be just for my hand. I got it all worn in. It's just for me. So, yeah, that is very cool. And that's cool. Like, you're at this stage, because, you know, some people don't even, or some businesses don't even make it past, you know, 3 or 4 years. And now you're like still trending upwards, with your product and making improvements and seeing it in the community, getting the feedback, yeah, that is great.
Yeah, that was something we really, like, when we came out with the first one, it was just a lot just to come to the production and get something in people's hands. But, you know, my dad and I pushing each other and Martin as well, you know, we weren't satisfied. We knew there was a better version out there. We just didn't know what it looked like. You know, we didn't know what it felt like. We didn't know any of that. But as soon as we had, like you said, that light bulb went off, it was like, oh, and it, you know, it happened right before COVID, and then we just leaned in and came back out with it. And now I can say that it feels like the best chicken foot that we can create. You know, where does it go from here? You know, like my dad said, we'd love to get some stickers or some charms on it, personalize it. You know, I actually love the idea of our foot on another trekking pole, because that's even more personal, right? It's like this was your trekking pole, and now you made it into a chicken foot. Now we have a part of that. Now you're part of our community, and we're part of yours. You know, I love that feeling, because it just, you know, it feels familiar, but it's also new and different at the same time. And it's a tool, right? So
it just makes sense too. I mean, it's easier on you guys. You don't have to sell the pole and everything. And then also, just, you know, if I already have a pole, like, I don't need another one. So of course I'll just buy the head for it. Are you guys in, like, or talking to any, like, retail stores or even just like community stores if they have it in their local area?
I no, not yet. We flirted with that idea. What really keeps me away is, like, when I look at this, I'm looking at the Yard Game section in the stores. I'm sure you do that all the time. You can't help it, right?
I know. I walk fast all the time.
I stay there, and my wife's like, you know what they got? I was like, I know, but let me just hang out here for a little bit.
You got to see what's happening.
and you know, you see it, you know, you see products come and go, and then you start to see the products that stay there year after year. And I'm like, okay, I want to focus. I want to be that type. So how do we get there? You know, I haven't answered that question yet, but what I want to avoid is running out there and saying, hey, we got something, and then it just fails. I really want to have it fully baked. And right now, you know, we did open more channels on Amazon, on eBay, on Etsy. That's, you know, I want to sit with those and let those marinate for a little bit, understand really our market, you know, because when we go to the retailers, I want to be in a stronger position, not just please take our product. I really want to say, hey, these are the numbers. We can definitely support our position on that shelf. And by the way, we got more coming. So, you know, that's the position I want to be in, is where, boom, that takes off. Hey, we got something else, and we got something else. You know, I want to keep feeding that. So we're kind of holding off on that for the moment.
Yeah. And it's tough because it's a niche market. I still deal with explaining what bocce is to people. So it's not that widely accepted to just go into the store and be like, oh yeah, let me get this bocce retriever, 'cause I got 3 games coming up. I get the stumble, or, you know, the hurdle with that.
So how do you explain bocce to people that are non bocce players?
I like to call it a more sophisticated cornhole, and for some reason the light bulb goes off and they get it.
I tell them it's marbles for adults.
Ah, there you go. It's a good one too.
But if you haven't played marbles, you're much younger than all the people that ask me. But I play marbles. Well, there it is.
Yeah. I know. And you know, there's companies like what's it on Pop Darts that they're throwing darts on table on that stick, and essentially that's bocce. It's the same concept.
It is. You know, it's fun for me watching bocce appear in more movies and commercials.
Oh yes,
my God! Like I'm like, first I'm like, is that bocce? How did they do that? How did they market that? Right, like Chad Ochocinco. If you blink, you might miss it, but he's in a big one right now for the NFL Network, where he grabs the bocce ball. It was Carnival Cruise Lines.
Right.
There was a few movies. Get Out was a big one, right? That's when I saw it
come. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that. But, yes, that was great. They started playing.
Yeah. Oh. And there's a few others. But when you see it, I want to say Bocce is like this. Why I'm so confident about the slow build and the rise of Bocce is I think people of all the sports, maybe outside of axe throwing, people get it. They get that. And I think it's kind of in our DNA. There's a target and I have to hit it or I'm not going to eat. that's like old school. That's classic, right?
So and it's just one of those things too, that it's so simple, but it can be so complex at the same time. And what I mean by that is like, you know, you're playing on turf, which can roll a certain way, but then you're playing on clay, which can roll a certain way. And for me at the beach, I'm playing at the sand, which is like a completely different game. So it's so versatile, but at the same time, it's so many little nuances that can happen. And that's what I really love about the game.
Yeah, it's incredible. We play on carpet a lot. I feel more comfortable on carpet because of the blemishes in the court. Like I could take advantage of those versus on a clean court when it's smooth. Man, all of my weaknesses are shining bright.
Yeah, you got to get that touch. Got to get that feel.
So
you guys, you know, you've been in the business for a while. You've probably gone through a ton of headaches and a ton of successes, many successes. What's some advice that you would give someone that wants to create a product?
I'll go very specific. You go
ahead. No, well, I think you have to, number one, whatever product you put out there has to be of quality.
Yeah.
It cannot, you can't take the shortcut because it's going to, I've always lived this way. I only have one name and I don't want to blemish it in any way. And if I put my name on this product, it's going to be top notch. It's going to be quality. I'm going to stand behind it. And if you have any difficulties, come talk to me. I'll fix it. And I think unless you believe in a product like this or any product that you're thinking of, if you don't believe in it, you're just going to fall short.
And I'll say for us, you know, just big thinking, you know, you can't quit. You got to keep going because you never know, you know, when that next success is. So a lot of it is just managing your resources and your time, making sure you don't blow it all in the beginning and then feel that resentment. Like, hey, it didn't work out for me. You know, sometimes that fruit's a little bit higher up in the tree. But specifically, you know, the 3D printer was just a tremendous help for us. Why? Because it actually put our ideas into the physical world. Like we could see it. And when we first invented when we first came with the chicken foot, I could not stop holding it. I had to hold it. And it just was like there was a bond there that you made when you make a product that you just get used to it. And I really felt like the 3D printer was huge because it was something that was tangible that we can hold. And once you hold it, all of a sudden your mind starts racing to other ideas. And it really was a big stepping stone for us.
It also helped Martin come up with a few iterations. You know, the mm-hmm. first one he did, I'm looking at it, I'm going, this is nowhere near what I, you know. And so send it back. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he comes up with this foot that is fantastic because you have one. You see where the Polino goes.
Exactly. If it's snug, it's perfect.
Yeah. And so once he came up with that, I said, this is it. You know, we're going for it. So.
And it was easy just to go back and say, hey, let's redesign it. Let's make it adaptable to trekking poles. So those types of things, I think had we not had the 3D printer, would have been roadblocks that would have been probably fatal to the product.
What Nathan is talking about on the original one, this shaft was just flat. There's nothing in it. And the epoxy held it to the stick. And
I remember that.
The second one, he made the inside so that it was a female thread.
Mm-hmm.
And you just take that male stick and just turn it, you know, clockwise and boom, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
No, that's some good advice. Keep focus and, Yeah, don't settle. Make sure it's perfect. Make sure it's your vision. Make sure it's what you want. Because, yeah, like I created a product. I don't want to put my name on something that people aren't going to like. So I feel like everybody should have the same philosophy. Mm-hmm. But are you guys still with the same manufacturer?
Yeah. So we switched manufacturers for the foot when we came out with the Premier. We're calling the Chicken Foot Premier. Why? It was COVID. It was a little funky to meet manufacturers and get that whole process done. But we ended up going with our friend Adnan Moonshot in Los Angeles. And he was just wonderful. Like he understood the concerns you have about COVID. No problem. Here's some samples. Here's some tests. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And so we stayed with him. And the manufacturing has not been a problem for us. But a lot of that is Martin. Great. Martin's very familiar. He comes from that world. He's very experienced. So by the time we got to meet these people, they've been vetted through Martin, and that's what he does for full time.
Yes.
So that was tremendous for us.
Yes. There's nothing better than a key guy like that. We just switched our manufacturers as well. And this new guy is perfect. He is on top of everything, and it's like night and day. So it's like getting yourself a good person like that at the helm. It's key to success.
Yeah, we really want to, if they love your product too, like forget about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're a believer in it. Right. Like they're going to put that extra effort into building that because they want to be part of it too, you know? And it's awesome, man. It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling.
Oh, well, I wish I can talk to you guys forever, but I mean.
I got all day.
It's all good. But a couple more questions here. Outside of like what we all mentioned and everything, what else are you excited about for Chicken Foot coming up?
I'll say this. AI. Like AI is just tremendous in regards to what people who make products are doing, people who run small businesses. For an example, earlier today I got on this app, and I'll send it to you if you want. But you plug in your web address. And it'll review your product, and then it'll tell you, asking a few questions, who your audience really is. It's phenomenal. So it's not the fix all, but it's definitely like, hey, you're heading in the right direction.
It's a good data point. Yeah.
Heck yeah, it is. You know, and it does the thinking when we're too tired to think or too tired to work. You know, you just kind of go like, hey, what do you guys think about, what do you think about this AI? And it'll come back I built on ChatGPT. I trained it to have a Shark Tank like panel, so now I could ask it questions. And sometimes they give you funky responses, but it was a great tool to help me maintain my focus on the product. Like I could just blurt out a question, and it'll feed me something back. And I was like, yeah, you know what? That's a good idea. I didn't think about that. Or hey, I already thought about all that. Thank you very much. We're on the right path. You know, it's phenomenal.
Wow. How exactly did you train it to, give you a panel like that? Is it just a certain amount of responses or certain amount of questions you got to ask it, and it keeps remembering?
You literally tell it what to do. So I said, okay, you're a panel of five experts. Your expertise is in finance within the world of, physical products. Your expertise is, selling online and TV, TV QVC type thing. Your expertise is startups. And then you just got to keep working. You got to talk to your AI every day, right? Like, to train it to the point where, you can then it's feeding you the right answer. So it's a delicate line to walk because you don't want to feed it too much stuff. And then it's feeding you back, stuff that's not relevant. Yeah. But it's definitely a dance that you do that really has helped me maintain focus and constantly thinking about the product. So it's neat. It's fun.
Yeah. I mean, you basically already answered my next question to follow up. Like as entrepreneurs, what is your favorite productivity hack that you can give another entrepreneur? Like, do you have anything else?
It's AI, man. I mean, AI is tremendous. Like it really is. And we're at the very beginning of it. So as you see it unfold, it's just organizing your thoughts, asking it questions, having this relationship. It's you know, I have a wife and two kids and a full-time job, and nobody wants to hear about bocce in my world. So the AI is like, I could talk to it and it'll feed me back. It's at least somebody that I can just ask random questions to, thoughts throughout the day, and it'll remember it, right? So no matter what tool you're using, it's great for advertising right now, right? Finding your market. Finding your product, improving your product. It's just a great tool because it doesn't take anything. It's accessible to everybody. You can get it on your phone, ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one thing that I really am looking forward to. The other hack I think we talked about earlier, which is just becoming part of the community that you are, you know, being accepted by them, right? Like that's tremendous because they give us feedback.
Yes.
They give us feedback, you know, they give us ideas. So just staying in that pocket has been a hack in and all of itself, you know.
That's perfect. I couldn't have said it any better. And that's exactly what you guys are doing. And you guys obviously are being well received and people are giving you ideas. So yes, kudos to you guys for actually doing that and sticking to it. And I wish you guys much success. And I'm just excited to see where the business goes. I'm excited to see where bocce goes. And I hope you guys are still there promoting it.
Well, that's my goal. That's my dream. And when people ask, you know, I get to play bocce with my son. And if it means we have to do it in Detroit or New York or Chicago or California, I'll go. I'm there. So
that is awesome. Yeah. Oh, guys. Well, I mean, that's all I got for you. Thanks for the update. And I'm still around. So if you need anything, any help with anything, let me know. I'm happy to lend an ear or whatever I can to do. So
appreciate that.
Thank you, Kelvin. And congratulations on your product, man. It's phenomenal, man. When I saw you step into the space, I was like, yeah. Go for it, bro. Don't stop, you know? Don't stop. That's awesome, man.
I appreciate it. This past month, we did really, really well and learned a lot, but definitely excited for 2024 because got a new version coming out and I think it's going to really take off. So
great.
Very excited.
Good for you.
Awesome to hear, man. Good luck.
All right, guys. Well, I'll be in touch. Thanks again.
All right.
And I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Kelvin.
Have a good one. Appreciate it.
That was Nathan and Dan, creators of the bocce ball retriever called Chickenfoot. Yes, that was a in-depth episode. I love it. I love catching up with those guys. They always got a story to tell, and I just love the father and son bond going on there. Give them a follow. They have good content and they will catch you up on the bocce ball community. And as always, links are in the show notes. Also, check out that TikTok, Toss Talk. It's available. I only got one post up, but go like it, please. And I have more fun things coming up for you guys. More games. There's still so many games to cover. And I'll catch you guys in the next one. Peace.